Good, grand, and glorious day to each and every one of you today, on this day where life is occurring. I am Reverend Lisa Giroux, sharing pathways to peace, purpose, and prosperity as we continue our journey into living whole. What is holistic? Holistic is incorporating body, mind, and spirit. And I'm so very excited that you're with me today whenever you're listening to this teaching. And this one is the precursor to a three-part teleseries that I will be doing beginning May 6th at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And I hope you'll be able to join me as we continue creating better health through a profound relaxation, meditation, practice. So for those of you who have worked with me over the last few years, I've kind of been on a hiatus from the radio show, doing some writing and traveling and working on, like I said, the new coaching programs, which is taking all the information that I have gathered over the last, 30 years, and accumulating that, gathering that, and putting together a series of teachings with regards to this type of whole life, whole living, holistic living. And I spell my holistic WH, which incorporates body, mind, and soul. We are living in a very fragmented society, and this fragmented society also is how most conventional thoughts about health is perceived. You no longer would see a doctor that would treat your tonsillitis and set a broken arm, would treat your backache and birth your babies. Now we've gone to specialization. And this quote-unquote specialization, I don't think it's very special, because we are a whole package. If you look at the way this human body has been designed, every system is dependent upon the other system. Every system must work in concert with every other system within the body, or we begin to have breakdown, don't we? So we want to move to breakthrough. We want to move beyond seeing our body as separate from the mind, as separate from spirit or source or soul. So when we choose to begin to take back our power, we look at our entire journey up to this moment in time. We look at the whole picture, don't we? We look at all of our relationships. We look at our work. We look at where we are right now. And we begin to think about how we want to proceed, where we want to go, how we want to feel, and how we want to get there. And the choice is always ours, isn't it? You know, part of this fragmenting of in society, within society, that we're seeing on so many different levels, and we won't go into all of these right now, but I think that a lot of it has been deliberately calculated, because when we are seen as bits and pieces and specks, and we're not whole, how powerful are we? How strong are we? How capable are we? Much of this fragmentation is causing this underlying stress and restlessness that so many of us might be feeling. And we have forgotten that our choice to be healthy, our choice to be vibrant, our choice to be whole is something that we get to reassess each and every day. Now, many of you who know my story and know me, and I've shared this many times, you know, we get out there as a young adult and begin to make our way, and many of us live in a way that is not, we're not integrated. And many of us live distracted, and many of us live in a way that doesn't honor the entire system. So when I became an adult and began my journey in my very early 20s, and I began to think about for myself how I wanted this life to be, I began to get profound insights. You know, I always joke and say, you know, those last two brain cells that I hadn't killed off from all the whooping it up in my earlier days, you know, they functioned very well for me. They really began to click together, creating a synergy. And through that synergy, I began to question everything that was in my life. You know, I witnessed as a young woman, as a young girl, my mother was, I would say, a whole life woman, whole living woman, a holistic woman. We ate very cleanly. We had a spiritual practice. We learned from a young age that, you know, even though we may have wanted all those crazy newfangled products that were lining the grocery shelves that were filled with additives and food coloring and all those crazy things, highly processed foods. Thank you. Those are the words I'm looking for. My mother rejected all of that. And so we ate the whole wheat bread. We ate fish. We ate vegetables and fruit every day. As a kid, that wasn't much fun. We would get treats of some of these processed foods. It would be a quote-unquote treat. And I learned how to cook. And that's part of the new teaching. We're going to be talking about, you know, filling our pantry with high-frequency, high-vibrational foods and creating meals out of them. But when we fragmented our food, the frequency of our food fragmented, the family, not my family, not until my mother died, didn't fragment, but, you know, the family dinner table fragmented. And looking at the perspective on which our doctors looked at us became fragmented. So if you went in for, let's say, the blues, okay, when I was in my early 20s, after my mother died, I had a very, very severe bout of depression. And the amazing thing about depression is you really don't know you're depressed until, gratefully so, you come out of it. And in looking back, the things that I did for myself were pulling these pieces together of the fragmented young woman that I was, the damaged, heartbroken little being that I was at that point in time. But just in my own intuition, because I didn't know any better other than to, you know, after just seeing what my mother had taught, was you take care of yourself first. You practice really deep connection. And one of the things that I started to do, because for lack of knowing anything better to do, was I began to walk. And in my family growing up, we were big walkers. We would take a walk after dinner. We would go and visit my grandparents. We would all take a walk. And in that walking, I began to look up and look around. And I saw that there still was beauty. Even though within my being I felt dark and depressed and sad and lonely. And through that time, I began to really access my own integration. I began to access my own, from the fragmentation, my own holistic, my own awareness of how I wanted to be. Through those very distorted, distracted party times, I would have some very, very profound moments of clarity. Those two little brain cells just kept click, 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 clicking. And the time that I spent whooping it up and partying became less and less, and the time that I spent integrating all these fragmented pieces of myself began to become the part of the picture. You know, it's like putting together pieces of a puzzle. And I really began to enjoy this, although I didn't really have the languaging for it then, this integration and intuition. And from that began my spiritual practice. I began to do yoga and meditate and began to take classes on alternative healing modalities and meditation and herbology, and began to really think in a non-mainstream way. Part of my disability, so to speak, in my depression and that, was that very, very stressed. I was a young woman out there on my own in a big city. This was in the early 80s, so, you know, I'd been a product of the women's movement, quote-unquote women's movement of the 70s, and as a young woman witnessing that, and began to act in a manner that I thought was typical, or I thought that was okay. Instead of relying on my feminine intuition and my power through my yin, through my powerful feminine self, I began to really live from this very male-oriented, yang-oriented perception of how I was supposed to be and who I was becoming. So I was in a very stressful job. I was out whooping it up, boozing, and just burning the candle at both ends, and kind of had this cataclysmic universal crash, which led to this depression, this dissatisfaction, which led to huge quantum healing. It was that dark night of the soul where all systems collapse, other than thankfully health. I was able to manage my health and began to look at the detrimental effect the stress was having on my body, on my mind, on spiritual practice, and I walked away from everything. Really, I ran away. I had friends come and pack me up. Bless those guys, that wonderful group of guys that I hung out with then, and put all my stuff into a truck and drove it back home, where I really didn't realize it then, but it was a series of critical choices that these choices that I was making were divinely inspired. And I began to really, really incorporate this little tiny baby step, big giant breath. Breathing with awareness. I didn't know it then. I look at it now, and it really was this intuition you know, you might call it a mother's intuition, although I'm not a mother, but definitely a woman's intuition. And I knew that I had to shift. I can remember waking up as clear as day. This is before I fled where I was, and having this moment of clarity, as we say in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I knew that there was something more. I think it was 23 at the time. And I didn't quite know what that was, but I knew that I was dissatisfied with the status quo, so to speak, and if anything were going to change, I had to change. I had to change. And it was as if the floodlights were turned on, the symphony started to play, and it was like, whoa! I remember sitting up in bed with this realization that I had no longer dreamt, I didn't dream, not only like in my sleep, but I no longer had a vision way out there somewhere, a focal point that I could, you know, my compass, that I could set my compass upon that would move me in that direction. And that quantum moment, that moment of quantum insight and healing and alignment set me on this path to where I am today and where I'm heading tomorrow in this huge universal, beautiful, amazing, fantastic journey, this pathway to peace of mind, well-being, equanimity, well-being, to where I would be no longer living by the stress response. I began to feel better in my body. I didn't feel like I was a foreigner in this body that was my vehicle for this journey. And the rest, they say, is history. And so in sharing this story again, or for the first time, if you've never heard it before, since this is like a prelude to the whole living teachings, the holistic living teachings, the integrated package that we're becoming, coming up in May, where we're moving into wellness, we're moving into being well, we're moving into well-being. And we're taking a cold, hard look at all the things that we've created in this lifetime. We're taking our power back by assuming full responsibility for all of it. All of it. And sometimes that's tough. And sometimes that's not much fun to take stock in some of the things that we've done. But the beauty is that there are tools and techniques and teachings that support you through this. These ancient teachings, this formerly esoteric information that was only for the masters, that was only for the high priests and priestesses, that was only allowed to be given to certain, it's now available to all of us. If we choose it, this is our free will. This becomes the choice to integrate. This becomes the choice to open up to higher realms of wisdom by first clearing out the gunk that we've created, and opening up and filling that newly cleared space with the wisdom, enlightenment, with source, with energy. And the way we do that, very simply, is through our practice. And so I want to take you through those steps. So what we're going to start doing next Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and you know, go to my website, www.lisagiroux.com, and download your free e-workbook, The Simplicity of Spirituality, which will be the framework for this work moving forward, as always. The teachers are different, and each of us as teachers, each of us as spiritual mentors, each of us as, I consider myself a wellness coach, has a different spark or a different frequency or vibration of teaching these universal truths. These are all the laws of nature. When we are aligned and living within these laws of nature, we know intuitively the steps to take for manifesting something even more amazing than we've ever had before. Something that is yet to be revealed to each of us, myself included. You know, I live in a frequency and a vibration of where everything is divine perfection. And the more that I am in this frequency and vibration, the greater the information that is coming to me each and every day on how I am to proceed. Because in this journey, this lifetime, we never get there. We have great moments of insight, followed by great moments of insight, followed by moments of humanness which cause us to question, which cause us to choose to step out of fear and back into love, as A Course in Miracles. And this continues to unfold for us. So wherever you are in your journey now, just ask yourself if anything or any way or any wondering about the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose? How do I attain peace of mind and well-being today? How do I maintain a frequency and a vibration of love and light so that I can serve humanity in whatever way that is unique to each and every single one of us? So many times we are trapped in this dramatic hysteria, drama, that so many of us live in, and I chuckle because, oh, man, I think I was the drama queen. They used to call me Sarah Bernhardt as a child, and she was a famous old actress, 100 years ago or however long. And when we begin to, little by little, bit by bit, better and better each day through these very simple practices to enlighten up, we surrender, release, and let go of those stressors in our lives that keep the source, the divine, at bay, and we move into comfort in our body, comfort in our surroundings, so that we can access this frequency, this vibration of the love and the light, and let it move through us, because we don't ever want energy just always to be in motion. We don't want it to get stuck. That's where blockages and lack of ease and dis-ease occur. And as we become lighter and lighter and lighter, those stressors no longer rule the landscape. And the thing about stress is that we don't realize that we're stressed. It's like, I didn't realize that I was depressed until I began to heal. Until I began to take my power back. No one can do this for you. You know, oftentimes as a coach, it becomes this very fine line about who's doing the work, right? And when I have to sometimes play the tough teacher and say, this is up to you. You get to come to your own rescue. Nobody else can do this for you. It's either met with total resistance and people fall away, or it's met with the universal quantum, aha, and people are willing to delve deeper. So I question you today. Are you willing to come to your own rescue? Are you willing to be your own hero? Are you willing to open up and access this information that is now available and let it work for your benefit? If you are, then come along with me. Come along with me as we together begin to unlock the mysteries. You know, a lock opens much better when you have the key. Any project, and if life is a project, and it is, becomes better and easier when we have a blueprint. All of these teachings, all of this wisdom that we use, all of these tools, all of these technologies that we choose each and every day, lighten our cosmic load. They lighten our humanness. They allow us to become the witness and the watcher to our reactions, to our responses. And these tools are meant to give us the ability to respond to life, not just react. You know, when you used to go to the doctor, didn't he used to test your reflexes. I don't even know if they do that anymore. I don't really visit doctors very often, infinite love and gratitude. But they used to tap your knee and your leg would pop out. It was called that was just a reaction. We want to be responding to life. We want to be responding and taking action and surrendering and releasing and letting go of all the gunk that no longer works, that keeps us held back just from being. We're human beings, not human doings. So this week, while I'm off having a wonderful time on my vacation, going out to the desert in California and out to the beach, putting together the rest of this teaching, this three-part series, and the coaching program that's going to be following this teaching, and I hope you'll be a part of that. It's going to be a wonderful group we're putting together. The call to action is to just be present, witnessing. And we can only do that through our awake and aware breathwork practice. So as our daily grid dictates, the call to action for you for the next week until we meet on May 6th at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and I'll be giving you the conference call information. Begin your day with this awake, aware breath. Hold it for 90 seconds. Just breathe and be aware. 3 times a day for 90 seconds. And after each of those 3 mini micro meditation moments, as I love to call them, I want you to drink a glass of water, and I want you to supercharge your water with the intention of relaxation, peace of mind, and well-being. I am Lisa Giroux. I'm wishing you well, and I'll see you next week. Namaste.